When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? We are back once again. You are here with District Baseball. Congratulations. You have found the best baseball show on the internet. I am Nick. You can follow me at Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him at Reverse2R2S's and the show at District BSB. Today, we are recapping all of the major news around baseball. We're going to touch again on the Ohtani signing with all of the contract details coming out. We'll dive into the Soto trade that happened a couple days ago, as well as all of the other moves that are going around. But Trey, what's going on?
Nick, we're finally starting to see a little bit more movement. We were kind of anticipating that we might see something, and then we actually had a big deal happen with the Jung-Hoo Lee signing a couple hours ago, but we'll get into that
perfect,
in a little bit.
Perfect podcast timing.
Of course, yes. Absolutely brilliant. Hopefully nothing absolutely major happens in the night before this comes out. But
I was going to say, if it happens during the show, that's even better. After the show, So like, let's have like a 36-hour cool down.
Yeah,
from the time we're done recording to probably when the show comes out.
I agree. So MLB free agency should revolve around us and our schedules. I agree.
In actuality, like, it just makes sense. Like, you want some buzz around your move. So, like, don't make moves when there's no buzz to be had, you know?
It's true. It does make a lot of sense. we just got the details about Ohtani's contract after we had recorded our emergency episode the other night. And I think that's going to be the first thing that we go ahead and discuss because it's absolutely nuts. Nick, would you like to lay out the contract details?
Yeah. So, I was going to say it's pretty cut and dry in terms of how the contract is structured, but like when you actually think about it, it's not cut and dry because we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. That's for sure.
So as everyone knew at the time of signing, it's a 10-year, $700 million deal. Insane. You know, everyone's pulling up the California tax laws and what his net is and da, 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 da. But we knew at the time he was signing that there was quote unquote unprecedented deferrals. No one knew quite to the extent of what the deferrals were, but we could assume like half the contract. We even said on an emergency episode, it's probably half the contract, or at least give or take some. If it's 60% of the contract, you know, it makes sense. That would still be unprecedented. Trey, it was not 60%.
It was not
70%.
Nope.
It was not 80%. It was about 97% of the contract is deferred. Shohei Ohtani, the greatest player ever to play the sport of baseball, is making $2 million a year for the next 10 years. So he is effectively 10 years, $20 million. Now, he's still getting the remaining $680. That is going to be dispersed over the following decade. So $68 million a year towards the luxury tax threshold. And presuming he doesn't extend his time with the Dodgers will be paying Shohei $68 million a year not to play for them or post-retirement, whatever. And obviously, sports discourse had a field day with that. I think before I get your take on it, the important thing to remember here in my mind is there, well, there's two quick things. One, this was Shohei's idea. You cannot have these unprecedented deferrals without a willing party. And I know I've seen plenty of people point that out, but this was Shohei's idea. Winning means just as much to him as getting paid. And this is putting his money where his mouth is. In fact, he's putting his money 10 years in the future because he's not getting paid his contract and for another 10 years. Listen, Shohei will be fine still, but he's not getting paid that money. The second thing is any team could have done this. Any team could have done this. It just came out today that the Giants were okay with the same exact deal. Mm-hmm. Now, if Shohei signed with the Giants, would people be so upset? I don't think so.
Probably people are upset because
it's the at least less so. Yeah, agreed. But people are upset because it's the Dodgers. Listen, the Dodgers just outsmarted everyone. But at the same time, it doesn't sound like it was just a Dodgers thing if the Giants were okay with the same exact structure and they had discussed that same exact structure, you know? And then at that point, if you have the exact same offer, are you going to pick Dodgers or Giants? To me, that decision is clear. You're taking the Dodgers every single day, like just because of what they've been able to, their current roster and the stability and spending ability and all that stuff. And we'll talk about the Giants later, but for all the people saying the Dodgers cheated the system, I don't see it that way because this was Shohei's doing and it still counts $46 million, give or take, towards the competitive balance tax threshold or whatever CBT stands for.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, so I got it. So it's still, it's not like he's counting $2 million towards the cap. It's not like football, right? And granted, football has a salary cap, so it's a little bit of a different discussion. But it's still $46 million towards the luxury tax. So it's not like it's dropping from $70 million a year to $2 million a year. That's just what Shohei's netting. That's a Shohei problem. That's not a Dodgers manipulating the system. It's still $46 million a year, which if Shohei's true contract was $46 million a year, no one would really bat an eye. They're like, oh yeah, Shohei probably deserves more than that annually. And that's basically what the Dodgers are in spending power paying Shohei a year. So I think you just from that kind of aspect, you can kind of see where I fall on this. But Trey, what are your thoughts on the deal?
I think it's a smart contract for both sides. From they both sides get what they want. Ohtani, it's also worth mentioning that this is the only contract like this that's going to be signed probably ever.
Thank you.
So it's not like this is not going to become a precedent for other guys. I mean, technically they could do it this way, but it's just not going to happen because no other player in MLB has the endorsement potential of Ohtani. He's 8 on a completely
billion people in the world. There's one guy who can do what Shohei Ohtani does.
And there's only one guy who can, you know, make probably more money off endorsements than he will on $50 million
a year
total. Yeah, exactly.
Estimated. He's going to be fine.
He's totally fine. But he is the only guy in baseball that can get paid like that for just endorsements. There's no other guy that, I mean, you can, and Instagram followers aren't everything, but he is first and it's not close in amount of Instagram followers. So he's got influence. He's got international clout as well that other players don't have. So it makes sense for him. He doesn't need to get paid a salary by the Dodgers while he's playing because he's going to get a ton of money in other avenues. And also tax reasons.
Yes.
By the time Ohtani is getting paid his deferred money, which is most of the contract,
he's not going to be paying California taxes.
Probably not. Yeah. He's probably going to get out of there so he doesn't have to pay the California taxes. So realistically, he's going to gain value based on that. And the Dodgers, obviously, and like you said, any team like the Giants did offer, were willing to take a contract like this as well. So this is not a Dodgers thing, but the Dodgers were smart here with this signing. The only hesitation I have is more of a personal thing. It's just the fact that they don't have to pay interest on the deferred money, which basically means that the Dodgers billionaire owner gets to save some money in the long run, which that doesn't sit right with me. I think they should have to pay their fair share. But other than that, it makes a lot of sense from both sides.
Yeah, like, and I totally get that point. With inflation and all that stuff, I think the estimated, it's not net value, but the real value or whatever of the deal is like $460 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because $70 million today is worth a lot more than it will be by the time he gets it in, 2034 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So like the real value is like $460 million, which is still the richest contract in baseball history.
Yeah, he's still fine, guys.
Right, but it's like again, even to your point about the interest aspect, any team could have done it.
Yeah, that's more of a money issue than it is the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's like, but it, my thing is, and I see people saying, oh, the MLBPA has to hate this.
I've seen that a lot too, and but it doesn't make sense.
It was Shohei's thing. This is not the Dodgers manipulating the cap.
Yeah, and also
the cap. I keep saying that because of football terms, but like
essentially,
the luxury tax.
The luxury tax is basically a cap. I mean,
yeah, this is not any sort of manipulation. Deferrals have always been around, right? We know as Nats fans that deferrals have always been around. Mookie Betts has really aggressive deferrals too. So, you know, I guarantee you in 10 years, once we get past Shohei's playing days, everyone's going to start clowning the Dodgers about, oh, it's
their pants.
You think Bobby Bonilla day is a big deal. It's Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani day. And guess what? That bill is over $80 million.
Yeah.
And Bobby Bonilla is making $1 million every July 1st. Like, and everyone clowns the Mets. Like, but anyways, I'm just saying, like, this is Shohei's thing. And also it was a smart deal for Shohei because if you got paid all that money up front with California taxes, you're probably making less than that $460 million that you're ultimately going to be making.
He might actually make money based on that. Right. Because, yeah.
Right. So, again, like, I think people are more mad that
it's
their
the
team didn't do this.
Yeah, I think more people are mad
than
that
anything
it's the Dodgers.
Else. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and the Players Association, by the way, did agree in the last CBA that deferred payments could be infinite.
It's in the CBA. It's literally in the CBA. Yeah. So like there's no limit. Now in 2-3 years when it's time to negotiate the CBA again, are they going to address this?
Probably.
They're probably going to say no more than 60 or 75% of the deal can be deferred. I'm okay with that. If you want to address it down the line, that's fine. But for the people saying this should be vetoed, the owner should strike, like da da da. Okay, you're just really butthurt that your team didn't do this, and I get it. I'm pissed the Nats weren't involved in this. In 10 years, they'll be dead. Like, it is what it is. He's a generational talent, like Soto, for instance. Who this is probably a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. Like Soto's a free agent next year. They're going to try to use Shohei as a comp because Boris and any good agent would. Nobody's a comp to Shohei. Shohei's one of one. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no one's going to have these unprecedented deferrals.
Yeah.
Like Shohei did. No one's going to be okay going from 70 or like sacrificing 97% of their earnings in order to help the team. But as you pointed out, like Shohei's just in such a unique and like beneficial, healthy position outside of baseball with his mm-hmm. influence and advertisements and all that stuff. He's fine, but no one else is in that position. Mike Trout.
Not to that extent. No.
Right. Mike Trout, who was before Shohei came along, in our eyes, the greatest baseball player ever. He's not in that position.
Not even close.
No, not even close. So again, you got to treat Shohei like a unique outlier and leave it at that. And everything else is going to be business as usual. And in my opinion, I could be wrong. We'll see how the Soto negotiation goes because he'll be 26 at the time he's a free agent. And that will, you know, be a, I can only assume, unique and record-breaking deal for a non-Shohei player, but I don't think this is going to have a lasting impact on free agency.
You know what? A hot take. I will guarantee Juan Soto doesn't defer 97% of his contract. So, yeah.
All right,
we don't really have to
put it on the ticker.
Yeah, go ahead, I guess. But yeah, I mean, if that ends up happening, I'll eat a sock or something.
All right. You want to take us through the Soto deal?
What
the Yankees are doing?
Yeah, we'll just transition right into Soto here because that was the first really, really big move, I would say, of the offseason was the Yankees getting aggressive in the trade market. I had said that they would do it in the free agent market, which I ended up being wrong, but they got aggressive regardless with a big time deal to acquire 1 year of Juan Soto. I think this deal, Juan Soto has been traded for 12 players in his career already. I just want that fact alone blows my mind because he's like 25. But Yeah, the Yankees traded six players. They also received Trent Grisham in the deal, not just Soto. But they traded five pitchers as well as Kyle Higashioka, their catcher, to get Juan Soto. And they were actually, their press conference for Soto joining the team was today. And it's pretty clear Soto's going to free agency. So this is going to be a one-year rental. They could obviously sign him in free agency if they, you know, put the money up, but it's pretty much going to be, you know, best offer is going to get Juan Soto, it seems. So there's that, but I do think that the Yankees get a ton better, obviously, from this deal. They also acquired Alex Verdugo from the Red Sox, I should mention. So they've kind of filled in their outfield.
Have redone it.
Yeah, it's pretty much Judge, Soto, Verdugo,
with Grisham as the backup.
Grisham is the fourth guy, and he's a great defensive outfielder. So mm-hmm. that's a good pickup.
Not in the playoffs.
Maybe not in the playoffs. But hey, now they're on the same team, so it can't happen like that again. They already were, I guess, but they're a package deal now, I suppose.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, crazy deal. The Yankees, as the Dodgers as well, they both teams still have work to do because both teams need more pitching. But yeah, this is a step in the right direction for them because it was one of their worst offensive seasons as a team in a long time last season, and that has to do with, you know, injuries and such. But you know, Juan Soto, he played 162 games last year, so he's gonna play. He's gonna be on the field, and that's what they need most of all, I think. And that 2-3, I'm assuming they're going to hit like 2-3 in the order or something like that. Because that's going to be we were talking about the Dodgers 1-2-3 being pretty brutal. That Yankees 1-2-3 is not going to be much better for pitchers. So, yeah, I think we'll see how it ends up working out. But I think this is actually a good deal for the Yankees. You know, they definitely have the ability to win a World Series. You know, when they add some pitching, which they will this offseason, that'll probably round out their roster to be one of the best in the league.
Yeah. So, like, as far as the Yankees' offensive woes that you alluded to, I think injuries certainly played a part, but also like their selection of who they brought in to be reinforcements also played a part. A lot of the guys they brought in were like old and at the tail end of their careers, or at least past their prime. Like an Anthony Rizzo, for example. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, most Yankee fans were okay with re-signing him, but like you weren't re-signing him with the expectation that he was going to be what Anthony Rizzo was in like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying him like it is. And same thing with like Donaldson. I mean, Donaldson, that could not have blown up more. And granted, they traded for him from Minnesota, so that was more of a, can we get something out of this as opposed to like anything else. But you, the Yankees fans thing is like, oh, we chose Donaldson over Machado or mm-hmm. Harper. And it's like, and to an effect, it sort of was, because he took up a roster spot and he's playing third base. You know, so it's situations like that where the guys they chose to bring in to fill those spots were not good choices to begin with. Whereas now I think they're finally learning from their mistakes. They're trading for a young guy in Verdugo. And I believe we talked about in the show, like Verdugo is, the word mid gets thrown out so much that it kind of like loses its meaning. But like, to me, like Verdugo is the epitome of mid. Like he's fine.
He's definitely just, mid. Mid is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Though. Yeah. I don't mean it in a bad way. He's just fine. But like they didn't stop there. Like if they only brought in Verdugo and then didn't add a single other position player, there's like, what the hell are they doing? Mm-hmm. But like putting Verdugo in between Judge or next to Judge and Soto, that's going to work out fine.
That's going to help him a lot too. Cause yeah, I mean,
right.
Anybody who's hitting near those guys is going to benefit.
Right. And like the big thing now is, and I think other teams do a good job of it. The Dodgers, for instance, have done a great job of it. Braves have done a great job of it. Is they didn't sign these guys in free agency, so they still have their X amount of free agency capital to spend on a Yamamoto or a Snell or whatever area they desire. Like shit, they could still sign Cody Bellinger if they wanted. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
But like for
they
for,
could, yeah.
Yeah. But just
technically
to make the point, to make the point, they can still go make a big splash. And then they, you know, we'll have added Juan Soto, an MVP candidate, and then probably another Cy Young / MVP candidate, because they're still heavily in on Yamamoto. So, and they already have an MVP in Aaron Judge. So it's like, yeah, you gave up prospects, and I know people cling to prospects like their mother's pearls, but this is the kind of risks you need to take in order to win.
Yeah, and they didn't really give up like any of their main guys either.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, don't cling to prospects saying, oh, this guy could be something. Go trade for someone that is, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the Yankees did a really good job. I like what they're doing, and I like that they're not done yet either. If you're a Yankees fan, I think you can still hate Boone, you can still hate Cashman, but you have to like what they're doing so far in free agents or in the offseason.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So those are probably the two most important impactful moves. I guess we could also throw in Jung Ho Lee in there, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
You want to go through the list?
Yeah, I was going to rapid fire some of these more recent moves dating back to December 3rd. So let's just go ahead and rattle them off real quick. So we've had some trades, we've had some free agency signings. So on the 3rd of December, we had the Braves and Mariners make a very interesting trade. Seattle traded away Jared Kelenic to the Braves for basically a player dump. So they retained Jared Kelenic, who is a young player. And then we have Atlanta has kind of been doing some weird stuff where they're flipping players they get from trades. So they also got Marco Gonzalez in that trade from the Mariners. They flipped him to the Pirates for some player to be named later. And they also did the same thing with Evan White and Max Stassi later on. So interesting stuff there from them. They're trying to get some cash and some probably pitching prospects, I would think, is what's coming from them. The Brewers doing some cool stuff. They signed Wade Miley back, and also a good friend of the Nats, Joe Ross. Welcome back to the league.
My boy.
And then they also locked up their young player, but I think Nick's going to cover that soon.
Yep.
And then we already talked about the Yankees trades. Eduardo Rodriguez, we were looking at him as a big time free agent starting pitcher. He signs with the D-backs. So that's good for them. That means that the Diamondbacks are putting some money in, saying, hey, we had a competitive team last year. Let's keep it going. So I like that. And then we also had a trade between Boston and St. Louis. I think this is a really good trade for Boston personally. They've received Tyler O'Neill for a couple pitchers. And I think that's a really good fit for them that replaces Verdugo. And then we pretty much have a couple moves today that were the Royals are being pretty aggressive this offseason. And they made some moves today to sign Will Smith, reliever, and as well as Seth Lugo to be a starter. And then finally, obviously, we have the Jung Ho Lee signing that happened earlier tonight. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with that. Nick, what do you think about the Giants signing Lee out of the KBO?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Giants, like, I think you had to have been fed up with always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know, they were in on every big free agent going back to the 2019 offseason when they were really, really close to signing Bryce Harper. Like, I think it's kind of forgotten how close that was. And then, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been Arson much Judge, every, feel Carlos like every Correa, season.
Right? Yeah, they're always in. So it's like, I always applaud teams for spending, especially the teams that you wouldn't necessarily expect. And the Giants have been trying desperately to get a face of the franchise in there because they've had some good seasons. They're one of the, I call them the Red Sox, the 2010s Red Sox, where they're really good one year and then they suck the next year. And then they're really good and then they suck. Like we see the Minnesota Twins do that. And, you know, now we're seeing the Giants do that. And I don't really have an explanation for it, but that's just kind of the category they fall into. So certainly they would want some more consistency in, you know, new manager Bob Melvin, you know, multi-manager of the year guy. Like you want to support that. They have really good pitching. Or at least some really good pitching. I think their pitching has been as inconsistent as they are, but you know, they needed more stability is my point. And signing a premium free agent is a great way to stabilize a unsteady ship, you know? So it's a chance, it's a gamble, but they needed something. Like you could not strike out again after that. You just missed out on Shohei. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that they were in on Shohei and it sounds like they were pretty close on Shohei. Like we heard Blue Jays and Dodgers and even Cubs for a little bit, but we didn't really hear the Giants. But like the Giants had to have been until the very last second if they are agreeing to the terms that Shohei laid out, the 700 and 680 deferred and all that stuff. So not only do I love that they're in on that, I love the quick pivot too. Like, hey, we cannot get in a bidding war. We cannot strike out again. Let's just go get this guy. You know, help our outfield. 6 years, $113 million. It's less than $20 million a year. In my mind, and this is me as a non-millionaire, non-billionaire, if it's less than $20 million a year, there's no such thing as an albatross. Like,
I can kind of see that.
If he sucks, it's not going to destroy your team.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we'll talk about the Nats here in a second. Patrick Corbin's making $35 million. Steven Trossberg is making $35 million. Granted, those are two and not just one, but like that's an albatross.
Yeah, that's when it gets bad.
Anthony Rendon with the Angels, that's an albatross.
Yeah,
you know,
but basically, like, if you play for the Nationals,
right, right.
Yeah, no, I really like more, this. But, I really like this move for the Giants personally because I think his abilities will translate to at least to an extent because Lee is just so good with his plate discipline. He does not strike out. He walked a lot more than he struck out, and that normally translates between leagues. So I think that's a good deal. And I'm also because they were willing to put aside, you know, 700 mil for Otani, I would anticipate that they are not done. The impact move that I alluded to it earlier was the trade for Boston to get Tyler O'Neill from St. Louis. I think this is a good low risk trade for them, where it actually makes a lot of sense because just, you know, talking about Boston itself, you'd rather have the righty, I would say, because that monster is large, but it's short. I would anticipate that he'll probably see an uptick in his homers. Meanwhile, you had Verdugo, who is the lefty, is a little harder for him as an opposite field hitter towards.
And they're rumored to be interested in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. too.
So they're it seems like they want to stack righties, which it makes a lot of sense. You know, they play in Boston, so play your strengths. But I like that move a lot. They didn't give up really anything too important.
Yeah.
You got another one?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple. You're going to talk about Jamer, right?
I'll talk about him okay. In our underrated section.
So like it kind of sounds a little hypocritical and a little bit of a juxtaposition, but I like that deal for the Reds because the Reds are spending mm-hmm. and they're trying to you know, support their young core. I don't know about the fit. It seems like now they have one too many infielders. So maybe they're trying to package like a Jonathan India in a trade for Shane Bieber. That's reported that they have interest in Shane Bieber. So maybe that's coming. We just haven't seen the full picture play out yet. But again, I love small team spending. So I really like that one. Along the same line, small team spending. What are the Royals cooking?
They're cooking something. I'm not quite sure yet.
They were terrible last year.
They're trying to revamp their pitching staff, and they've done a pretty good job so far.
Right. They were terrible last year. Mm-hmm. And I think almost any other team would be in that situation, be like, oh, we were terrible, so why would we spend? The Nats are doing that. And they weren't. they overperformed, and they're like, oh, we were terrible, why would we spend? But the Royals are out there be like, hey, we'll overpay for Seth Lugo a little bit. We'll, you know, take a chance on Chris Stratton. Take a chance is a little harsh. Like, he was solid, you know,
taking a chance on, that Braves trade with, Kyle Wright, because he had an injury and struggled last year, but I actually like that move a lot too.
Yeah, me too. Right. Like, you're just betting on a guy to be healthy. And if he is, then he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a couple weeks, they've just completely revamped their pitching staff. And Cole Ragans is their ace, right?
Yeah, the guy they got from Texas.
Yeah, like, he was phenomenal for them after the trade. So it's like they've completely redone their pitching staff, and they're going to benefit from it. And, you know, who knows what next offseason looks like after, you know, presumably their pitching staff is much, much, much more improved. So I really like what they're doing, and again, being aggressive. They're not waiting for the Snell domino or the Yamamoto domino to fall. They're going to get these guys now. Mm-hmm. And that's a very viable strategy. Like, hey, yeah, we might not be in play for the Snells and Yamamotos and Bellingers of the world, but like, we can still go like eat up this secondary second tier market and just really improve our standing next year. So I really like what they're doing. And I hope it plays out. Like, I have no rooting interest in the Royals, but I want this kind of aggressiveness to be rewarded.
Yeah, exactly. Because it just helps other players get their money as well in the long run.
Yeah.
I'm really liking what the Royals are doing, because pitching was a big deal for them last year. That was an issue. And they're going to get some guys back. Bobby Witt was really good. Vinny P is going to be healthy.
So they brought Will Smith back, so they're winning the World Series.
And yes,
that's how that works.
Will Smith, yes, is now the arbiter of the World Series trophy.
Yeah.
So they're either going to win it, or they're going to trade him to the team that's going to win it. So be on the lookout for that.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, you alluded to me. We'll just go ahead and move on to our final segment here. But I was going to point out, and as for my underrated choice, was going to be that Jamer Candelario signing, because I do agree the fit's weird for now. There has to be trades coming, because they have way too many infielders right now. And I would anticipate, like you said, Jonathan India would be the one that makes the most sense. I actually like the fit for in terms of his bat in that stadium. Jamer Candelario loves to hit the ball in the gap. He loves the right center field gap,
large
especially
outfield.
But the Reds right center field gap is probably as close as it gets. So I feel like some of those doubles that he hits in the right center field gap might turn into homers in his new home ballpark. And I think you might be seeing Jamer Candelario approach the 30 homer mark. I'm not saying he's going to get there, but you know, 26, 27, honestly wouldn't surprise me. So I actually like that move from them, assuming that there's a trade coming, because they have to clear some infield space. But I that's got to be happening. Because
it sounds like they are, because we're hearing all the buzz about right now. Yes, Shane Bieber.
You mentioned Shane Bieber as a trade candidate for them. So that's got to be coming, I would think. You wanted to talk about the Nats here in our underrated section.
I do. Right. And obviously we're Nats fans, and we're we tried to be about 50-50 with Nats versus MLB, sometimes 60-40 in terms of MLB, or you know, if we're in season, Nats. But it's good to see they're making some moves. It's just like tentative optimism for now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Rhys Hoskins is still available, because like Jorge Soler is still available, because I mean, it's a pipe dream, but because Cody Bellinger is still available. Like, once those guys sign, then it's like, oh, same old, same old. And kind of right now, we already know it's same old anyways, because they could have gotten like Gio Urshela, or, you know, I don't think they ever would have signed Matt Chapman, because the contract it would take to get him would.
Yeah, he's going to get something crazy now.
Brady House. But, you know, they are dumpster diving. Senzel, I know you talked about it. If you want to catch that conversation, go check out our YouTube page and check out the short Trey posted. It's fine. I think it's a one and done deal with Senzel. I don't envision him sticking around past 2024. I think it goes to show how close they think Brady House is to the majors. Senzel, like, it stinks. Like, he was the second overall pick back in 2016, and he just didn't pan out. Yeah. And like, it's funny because as a prospect, his foundation, like his best tool was his bat to ball skills and his contact skills. And that's arguably what he's been the worst at in the majors. So it's like, if he doesn't have that one thing that, you know, should keep him rostered, then, you know, what's the point? That's obviously why the Reds non-tendered him. You know, cause he plays multiple positions, but he's not particularly strong defensively at any single one. And the Nats line of thinking is, if he plays just third base, maybe he can build some consistency. And there's some logic to that. Not everyone can be the Swiss Army knife. Like, that's why a guy like Ben Zobrist or even like Chris Taylor, like, got the contracts they did, because they were so good and so consistent despite like playing every single position possible on defense. So getting a guy like Senzel some consistency might help. We'll see. It's certainly a low risk move with only $2 million. And Dylan Floro, who they just signed today, I mentioned over on District on Deck, like, you know, third base in theory covered with Senzel. They still need a first base / DH. They still want a left-handed hitting outfielder, which is fine, because that probably means the end of Alex Call. So I'm all for that. And in my mind, they still need a starting pitcher to add some depth.
Yeah.
I agree. So they got the bullpen arm. And hopefully they still add a left-handed outfielder, a first base / DH, and a bullpen, a starter. So we're trending, but we haven't seen that big move yet. So hopefully that's coming. But as far as Flora goes, really, really solid bounce back candidate.
Like, yeah, I think this is a really good move.
Kind of guy you want to target to be a bounce back candidate, as opposed to like it's Senzel. And I don't mean this and with any disrespect, but like Senzel's never proved it before. There's never been a season where you're like, oh, that's what we want. Like Candelario, great bounce back candidate. And obviously it worked, right? And Floro kind of falls into that category where last year is the outlier in the grand scheme of things. Yep. And you're like, okay, I just need you to be that. I don't need you to be something you've never been before. So I really like the Floro move. At the very least, it provides depth in the bullpen. An article came out today about how drastic the difference was between Nats A bullpen and B bullpen. So hopefully this closes the gap and gives them some depth. So I like the move, and this is the kind of move they should be making. But that first base DH outfield bat really looms large, and I need them to make honestly a significant move there. So we'll see if that comes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the Flora move is actually a really solid move, because like you said, last year was his outlier. He's mostly been a really solid pitcher in his career. Yeah. And even then, last year was mostly just on the ERA, because he had an almost 2-run differential between his ERA and FIP.
His peripherals are great.
Yes. So, you know, this makes a lot of sense for the Nats. Veteran guy who should have a decent bounce back, we would think. And then, you know, if he's good enough to get some trade value, that's great.
Yeah. They need guys like that.
Yep. I agree.
Just bring me Rhys Hoskins and
Bellinger, Yamamoto. We're not asking for that much.
I'll wrap it up with this just real quick, because I know we want to get out of here. But like, I think Jock Peterson is a phenomenal fit, provides left-handed outfielder, can play all three outfield positions, and provide some pop at the plate. He's a great bounce back candidate. He'll cost probably a little bit more than the Nats want to spend, but they can still afford it. Like, grow up. Rhys Hoskins, great fit. But like, if that's not your cup of tea, like, there's still some viable options that I would still like to see. Brandon Belt, Garrett Cooper. Like, I don't love CJ Cron, but it's certainly better than, you know, that next tier down. I would say Rowdy Tellez, but he just signed with the Pirates. Yes. So thank God we're not in the Tellez category anymore. But yeah, Jock Peterson is like, man, if you don't want to give like a 4-year deal, you can get Peterson for like a 1-year, $12 million.
Him
deal.
And Belt, you know, as like Belt, DH yeah, options yeah. as like a 1-year.
It would be so good. So good. So I hope that happens.
Yeah. The Nats definitely need the home run ball. That was their big issue last year. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for our current wrap up. Things are moving quickly, so we'll see. You know, when the next recap happens, it could be pretty soon, depending on how many moves take place. But
dominoes are falling. So I think Yamamoto will be the next big one, and then we'll probably see like Snell. Bellinger is the one to keep an eye on. I haven't really heard anything about his market, so we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Blue Jays pivot to Bellinger. That was my bold take in the Shohei emergency episode. So
yeah, that's a good point. When more moves happen, we'll be recapping them and talking about our thoughts. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of District Baseball. You can check out our links in the description as well as on screen for our Twitter/X @. Thank you guys for watching. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.